Hi there, this is Laureate Hughes of Four Leg Rehab Incorporated, your place for online canine rehab education. So in today's audio, I think we are on business and marketing audio number 22. I want to talk about what do you do? And basically, there has been a lot of talk lately that I've seen in lots of different platforms about what to do in situations where rehab therapist skills or judgments are being dismissed by others in the veterinary field. And this got me thinking about all the things that have happened to me over the last couple of decades and some stories I'm hearing from other practitioners. So I decided to talk about it and talk about what do you do? So we'll start off with, what do you do when you are confronted by a naysayer? For example, you're trying to promote your service to a potential referring vet and he or she says, I don't believe in rehab. Dagger to the heart, right? Well, I always remember a student of mine back when I was teaching in the States. She was a Pfizer rep, and she said in their training as sales reps, they were taught to realize that you can group all of your potential customers into one of four categories. You have the empathetic, and they're going to do what's right. You show up, they're like, yay, this is so fabulous. The academic, and the academic is going to say, you know what, prove it to me, show me the research. You've got the entrepreneur. That person wants to know, okay, well, what's in it for me? How does this make my business better? And you've got the skeptic. So the skeptic is the I don't believe in rehab. So you can come up with strategies for the first three, and I have those elsewhere in my audios and various places. But for that last one, for the skeptic, quite frankly, you simply have to wait until he or she decides to change their mind. So in that case, just let it go. You can continue to provide resources if you want to, but don't get hung up that you need to convert the skeptic. The skeptic is going to take their own damn time to come around to it. So just let that not be on your shoulders. Okay? What do you do with the potential referral source that has old school or antiquated opinions? So for example, don't do any rehab until 8 weeks post-op, or crate rest your dog with the IVDD case for 8 weeks again, or you get the sometimes, just keep him leash walking for 4 months and then let him go, then he'll be fine, let him be a dog. So in these scenarios, you have a chance to educate, but it might take time, and it might not be via a direct path. So we're going to come back to this and some of the specific ideas. Let's move on to the next one. What do you do when you send a patient back to the surgeon with legitimate concerns about the surgery, but you're totally brushed off, or the case is dumped right back onto you, or worse, the client is simply told to stop going to see you altogether? Oh, you know what? We've had that one. It was a hip, and we felt that it was loose. The hip implant was loose. We sent it back, and the surgeon said, you're just doing too much physio. Stop going. Oh, my goodness. Anyways, where am I reading this? Okay. So this one's tricky because you're caught between being the patient advocate and not wanting to tick off the surgeon. So because that might jeopardize your future referrals. So there's another scenario. Here's a scenario. What do you do when you learn that another practitioner has advised your client to do something entirely contrary to what you would have or would do, or would recommend? Okay, so perhaps that client has had some diagnostic imaging done, and it shows a tendon lesion or a disc problem. And this other person is recommending strict rest. And you know better. And you also know that diagnostic imaging correlates very poorly with clinical findings. And you have a plan to address the physical findings you identify in your evaluation. Now, you have a battle of credibility. Who should your client believe? This is going to be a problem we need to address. Next scenario. What do you do when you send a patient to a particular surgeon specialist or other practitioners and they are told to come to their facility for rehab instead of yours? Oh my gosh, this has actually happened. Some of these are things I've read. Like I said, this one has actually happened. I sent one of my clients. They wanted to know who was the best person to go to for a certain type of procedure. I said, this, I think, would be the best surgeon for this. And that person said, okay, well, but I would recommend you have to do rehab at our facility. And I thought, really? Because I'm not going to recommend anybody else to see you now. Anyways, as you can tell, this one gets my blood boiling. And I've had it, like I said, happen to me once before. Fortunately, it was a really good client that insisted that she was coming back to me. So, that one was good in that case. But unfortunately, we've had it happen at the clinic with a few other times as well with other therapists. And really, all you guys can say is you win some and you lose some. Alrighty. What do you do? It's your boss that is doing or proposing something that is wrong, perhaps even dangerous, or maybe unethical. In this case, you are not only worried about the patient, but you also have to evaluate your own conscience, perhaps your own liability, as well as your own values and morals. And from there is where you'll be making your decision. Okay, of the what do you do, the last one we have is lastly, what do you do when you are the target of outright slander? Seriously, this happens. I've had it happen. Here's my story. We once had a new patient. We sent this new patient back to their vet because after about 10 minutes into the appointment, I found that this dog was freaking infested with fleas. It was a super huge, dense-coated Alaskan Malamute, right? So it wasn't until I was looking in, because the dog was biting at itself, so I'm kind of looking in and parting the hair, and I'm like, oh my gosh, they're really fleas everywhere. It was so gross. So we kind of, wound it up and I said, this is something you need to deal with and you need to go back to your vet and they can, and I explained to him what, they will give you medications. This is what's going on. It's all right. Blah, blah, blah. Here's what you can do around your house. Explained it all. I said, and then we're happy to see your dog when you have that, sorted out. Okay, and so guess what? The owner called us later to tell us that his vet had told him that the dog probably got fleas from our facility. Oh my, expletive, exclamation mark, angry faced, exclamation mark. If I believed in hexes and voodoo dolls and black magic, I'd have cast one nasty spell on that vet. Instead, I am waiting for karma to kick in. So we took the high road and we tried to educate the client as best we could that an infestation of fleas couldn't happen with 10 minutes of being in our clean canine rehab facility. Anyways, I don't think he came back, which is fine. Win some, lose some. Let's lose the dog with a flea infestation. Okay. Alrighty. So seriously, that happened. Alrighty. So what can you do? So there might be times when a phone call is in order. So let's say you get the patient that's dumped back onto your plate. You can play this with an inquisitive phone call. So was this a complication that the surgeon sees regularly at this stage? How has it turned out in the other patients that had this? Or maybe you plead your case for why you are so concerned. Maybe your letter back to the surgeon was downplayed. Maybe the surgeon didn't read it as how concerned you really were. And so he or she didn't really understand that. And perhaps an actual phone conversation, you might be able to convey a little bit better or in a way that the surgeon was like, oh, okay, I didn't really understand that. So a phone call might be in order there. A phone call might also be in order to talk to, let's say, the old school or the antiquated prescriber of crate rest or leash walk for 3 months. Sometimes, legitimately, these folks don't know what to do, or that rehab is very patient-specific and structured to accommodate the different stages of healing, you can ask them what were their specific concerns. And again, this is another one where it might be best to play inquisitive instead of launching into a lecture about, well, don't you know that, you know, we papers say this, this, and that. But from here, you might be able to gently nudge that vet into allowing you to, say, start earlier than normal with his or her patients. Okay. Let's see. A phone call might also work to call the practitioner that slandered you, or the vet who decided to redirect your patient to a different facility, or the one that they have a vested interest in. However, my huge caveat is that you need to be able to keep your cool, because this won't work at all if you blow your top and start name-calling, okay? Your intention with this one is to merely shame the other party, really, for your own self-satisfaction, and hopefully to prevent them from doing this again. However, you will never trust them again. I always believe that's, there you are, you cannot trust. If that's how they decide to operate, you are not going to trust that person. Okay. Educating. So you may need to educate your referral source, or the person, whatever, that is providing antiquated advisement. And that could come in the form of some research papers or abstracts. So I would say get familiar with PubMed or Google Scholar. I'm a purist. I like PubMed best. Okay? But you don't go crazy. So let's say you're going to find a handful of the most relevant articles to use or abstracts. Okay? Put them together with, let's say, just an unassuming, friendly handwritten note that might say something like, here are some articles that have helped to guide what I do for rehab in XYZ cases. I'd be happy to discuss how rehab would look for, insert dog's name, Fluffy McKenzie, if you would want to chat about it. So who knows if the vet's going to call you back or not. The point was to provide the info and hopefully let it sink in. So maybe those papers and those abstracts sit on his desk for 2 months, and then he decides to pick them up and flip through them. Whatever, that's fine. You have done your due diligence, so that's okay. Another option, suck it up. And just provide another round of therapy, or wait the 8 weeks or whatever. Because if you think the dog is not progressing adequately, so let's say you're doing another round of therapy, but the surgeon you sent it back to, they're okay with that, then just do another few weeks of therapy. If at the end you can objectively prove that the dog is not improving despite doing all the things that you have done, make sure they know all the things you've done. And the home exercises you've prescribed, make sure they know all the home exercises. And make sure that you can say that the owner really has been doing them. Then send the dog back again. However, on that second return, be sure to send a note ahead of that, or call the vet so that you don't get blown off a second time around, okay? And at this point in time, too, if you are really adamant about it, also educate the owner. So now that the owner knows, to ask the right questions and question the status quo. And you know what? I'm going to put another one. Well, how's this? I'm going to put one in right now. I'm going to go off the cuff. I pre-thought all these other ones. So now here's my off the cuff. In one case, I know of this one, and it was it was a vet who was doing a TPLO, and the dog went back in, and he was doing okay, 3 months rolls around, he's toe touch, weight bearing. What do you know it is? All of us who are listening to this, that's a meniscus. Okay, anyways, but what this fellow told her, not a boarded surgeon, had said, oh, well, he did an x-ray, and oh, you know what, this is pathologic arthritis, and actually recommended that it's likely just really too bad, and maybe you should put the dog down. Really? So I happened to see something about this from this client on Facebook, and I message her, and what's going on? She tells me this, and I'm like, you need a second opinion. So in that case, I overruled that guy, and made sure she got to a really good surgeon who said, yeah, this is meniscus, and dealt with that all and cleaned that up. Okay, but I was prepared to, well, mind you, that he wouldn't have done the euthanasia anyways. So he likely has no idea that I saved that dog's life. He likely thinks that it got put down based on his recommendation. Grr. Alrighty. Another thing that you can do is to pre-educate the owners. If you are sending a dog back to the surgeon or back to the vet and you are concerned that the owner is going to be told something like no rehab for 8 weeks, only do rehab at our facility or whatever, then alert the owner to this ahead of time. Educate them about the best possible rehab plans for after surgery. Let them know, oh, Dr. So-and-so doesn't like to refer to us for 8 weeks, but you know what? The dogs do so amazing when we see them within that first 2 weeks. Let them be your advocate, okay? So let them know it's their dog. It's their choice of where they want to go. Get your client on side as your ally so that they start to demand the services and request that they're coming to you. For example, ASAP post-op. So this is your grassroots tactics. Get the owners on your side, okay? So now, let's say you've got your client is in there and they're like, oh, well, but so-and-so told me this. Then calmly present your plan with confidence, okay? Confidence and calm. So when you are suggesting something contrary to what another practitioner has told the owner, at this junction, really, it's your sales pitch versus the other person's sales pitch. So speak with confidence. Be concise. Explain your findings and your plan. You may need to give rationale as to why you're recommending what you're recommending. You can give examples, perhaps examples in the literature, in human practice, in past patient cases, in order to strengthen your case. And then be prepared to answer questions and answer whatever questions they have. And here's where you might need to have some phrases handy, such as things like, we stopped prescribing bed rest for back pain in people back in the 70s. Or, it's been shown in human post-op knee surgeries that getting people moving and using their leg was important to be initiated immediately after surgery. Or, tendons need low loads of stress in order to heal. 30 minutes of leash walking won't do that. You need targeted, specific exercises, and so on. Okay. And then also, you need to develop a thick skin and a level of detachment. This is for your sanity, okay? If the owner chooses not to listen to you or your recommendation, or the referring vet surgeon convinces the owner to wait 8 weeks before starting rehab, or the client doesn't rebook with you, shake it off, okay? You'll win some, you'll lose some. Don't stew or dwell on it. It's going to drive you mad. Learn to let it go. Okay? Don't be too attached to a decision that isn't yours to make. Alrighty? Don't let someone else's bad manner, better sales pitch, authority trump, or ego get in the way of you helping other patients. So learn to let it go. Okay? There are times when you might need to make a stand. If you believe that what your boss or company is doing is dangerously wrong, or simply wrong, or dangerous, or unethical, then you have a handful of decisions to make. One, do you think you can change minds by talking to higher-ups or superiors about things that you believe are being done incorrectly? Then go ahead and try. Two, if you don't think that that will work, or you've tried it and it didn't work, then leave. Three, if you believe that things are being done that are dangerous, then you'll likely have an obligation to report that. Four, if you feel that your boss or superior or the clinic in general is unethical, then again, you're best to leave. So these are the cases where you might need to make a stand to stick up for what you believe. Okay? And then two, if we want to thwart this so this doesn't tend to happen very often, then become the expert, okay? So now, if you want to be the authority, the one that is to be believed and trusted, the one whose opinion that matters most, then you need to get your information out there, okay? You need to write articles and post them on your website, do blogs, do podcasts, offer Facebook Live events, make videos, do a talk, a seminar, or a webinar, write a newsletter, do some e-blasts, etc. Basically, get your name, your face, your logo, and your messaging out there, and the public will notice. The referring vets might even notice. All in all, you will become the authority, and you need to become the authority so that you have the credibility before it even comes into question. Okay. Whew. So hopefully this will stop you from banging your head against the wall. And my advice now is keep calm and carry on, my friends. That's it. Cheers, Lori.